Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, January 5th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, we did a program on Friday, and I want to welcome everybody back from the holidays. We did a program on Friday. We went over some predictions, and if we have any listeners out there that would like to, if they have a prediction, you know, in the gold, for the gold market, I'm sure there's lots of predictions, but, you know, we need to keep it in a certain area. So if you have a prediction for gold or silver, give us a call at 1-800-596-8191. What do you think those prices will be at the end of the year? Or maybe even in 6 months, Al?
Well,
I know they're going to be higher than what they are right now. And getting out to a great start today. Gold was up earlier in trade at the last, last hour or so of the financial markets before they closed to four. Gold popped up $16.30 currently, $16.30 at $12.07. Silver is up 42 cents. At $16.31, platinum up seven at $12.17, palladium up, down a dollar at $797. So gold up $16.30 at $12.07, silver up 42 at $16.31, platinum up seven at $12.17, palladium down one at $797. The U.S. DX today was off. It was up big this morning, like up, I think, almost 0.70. And currently we're at 0.19 to the upside at 91.34. Crude oil blowing through 50. And I believe this is the futures contract for crude oil down 2.84 at 49.85. And of course, everyone is saying because oil was blowing down into the 40 area, this is why the paper markets dropped so drastically. I don't buy it. I think there's other things going on. I don't think you can blame oil for the big drop in the paper markets today. You had the they're talking about spooking investors. Well, oil didn't drop to these levels. European markets got hammered overnight. But we'll go over those in just a few minutes. The Dow was down 331 points at 17,501. The NASDAQ down 74 points at 4,652. And the S&P 500 was down 37 at 2020. I think they all came back off their lows of the day. The 10-year yield down 0.08 at 2.04%. So it does show that you have people going to the bonds for a little bit of security, for a little bit of safety at this point in time. And of course, they'll go there first before they go into gold, but gold will be next, and we'll certainly see people head into that. The European markets, you had the France, their market was down 3.33%. That's huge. The DAX was down 2.99%, so basically 3%, the Germany's market. And the FTSE 100 was down 2%. And the only other one that was down big was Mexico's. They were down 2.5%. So France, again, they got clobbered in overnight trade. So, and the China market was up almost 3.5%. So, interesting. So, you know, our markets followed through from the European markets, and they got hammered.
What's the common denominator between the United States and Europe as opposed to China?
Currencies. Have our currency.
It's not just currencies. It's the idea that China has enormous savings. It is now a creditor nation. It is possible for China to lend money because China has, or at least currency, because China has an enormous, as the world's largest, currency reserve, so far as I know.
Well, I don't think
the rest of us are debtor nations.
Well, I don't think that's why they're up 3.5%. But
I won't argue it's up. But I'm saying I'm talking about common denominators between the two. In the end, the debtors are going to go down.
But the euro hit a 9-year low today. It broke down to 120, hit 1.19. I don't see the closing numbers on the euro. But you also have the dollar hitting these all-time, you know, these big high numbers as it continues to climb with oil hitting lower. So I don't think oil was what put the pressure on the markets. Maybe at the end, and after all the dead speak coming from the CNBC channels of the world, the financial news markets, perhaps they've made people believe and, you know, spooking the investors. That's why the markets went down. But I think it has a lot more. It's a lot deeper than just oil breaking down into the 40s.
Well, I think that's true. But one of the other things everybody's got to recognize is that the market has been artificially sustained for some period of time. When the market was up over 18,000, it didn't get there on the basis of just profit and loss statements out of the corporations. It reached that level on an artificial basis. And we've talked about this for years, that sooner or later that artificiality is going to be removed one way or another. And when it does, the market's going to fall. It may be that what we're seeing today in part reflects that idea. Some people are finally saying, you know, this market is too high. And it happens to be, and it may be that the price of oil may be just enough to say, you know, I think I'm going to pull back on this stuff because this isn't real. And it may be catching up. It may be that the oil was just the trigger that was needed to tap into that energy of artificiality, artificial prices, manipulated prices that's been building. And so we got a minor avalanche today. We finally hit one snowflake and we get a little bit of an avalanche. We get a 300-point avalanche. So maybe we'll see. It's not entirely irrational. There's an article from from Reuters. Equities slump led by energy as oil hits 5.5-year lows. Equity markets worldwide tumbled on Monday, led by commodity-linked shares as oil prices fell to 5.5-year lows and investors fled to the safety of government bonds. Investors are fleeing the market. They're looking for safety. They're going to bonds, and some of them are going to go to gold. And those would be the ones with IQs over 90. Crude oil futures and U.S. crude prices dropped to their lowest levels since spring of 2009. Hit by a global supply glut and lackluster demand, strength in the U.S. dollar, in other words, deflation, at least on the international market, touched a near 9-year high. Dollar is a 9-year high against the euro. What we're simply talking about is that even though, according to one economist, he's talking about the oil industry, and he said it only employs about 255,000 people in this country, and therefore he doesn't think that a drop in oil prices is going to have that much of a direct economic effect, right? If you put 250,000 people out of work, well, that's a problem, but it's not an enormous problem compared to the problems we already have. It's not a good thing, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to put 255,000. We might put 20,000 out of work. Who knows? 50,000. I don't know how many can go out of this. He's saying there's not that many people in the industry to begin with. But energy, nevertheless, even though it may not be a major employer, it is a major component. It makes up, I think, something like 10% of the stock market. All right? So if we have a problem with energy, the price of crude dropping, it's going to adversely affect the profits of those energy corporations. It's going to adversely affect their prices on the stock market. And all of a sudden, one little snowflake, price of oil is dropping. No big deal, but the price of oil stocks are dropping, which may be a significant deal. And that might be the domino effect that we're looking at right now. One little thing causes a bigger thing, which causes an even bigger thing. And it's the kind of, it's, whether that's actually happening or not, we can't say, don't know it for an absolute fact, but it certainly could be happening. It is a plausible explanation. And it's not just plausible in the case of crude oil and energy. It's plausible in relationship to our entire financial structure in this country. There are squadrons of black swans that are currently flying around the world, and they could land at any place at any time. And maybe it's the price of crude oil, or maybe it's the price of coconut oil. I don't know. But the whole system is so interconnected, complicated, too complex to be clearly understood by anyone, that there are, you know, strange things can happen. And the implication, therefore, you need to protect yourself not only against what you see, but also what you can't see, what maybe no one can see. And that sounds like, you know, kind of a strange comment. But you have to recognize that there are so many mysteries and imponderables that are part of the current global economic system, financial system, that nobody really knows where the red button is. You know, if somebody happens to step on that button by accident, well, I said, well, how could coconut oil mean anything? And I'm just using coconut oil as a silly example, but they step on the coconut oil button and all of a sudden, bang, 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 dominoes start toppling. We're seeing an illustration of dominoes, at least a potential illustration, a plausible explanation in what's happening in the energy market, which is what's happening in the crude oil market. And we're seeing that. How do you protect yourself against it? And the answer is you're going to invest your wealth in something that does not depend on someone else's promise, because those promises are based on presumptions that, as anybody could tell you, just 90 days ago, 60 days ago, ask anyone in the world if the price of crude oil could fall below $50 a barrel. I mean, it's been as high as $150 a barrel. It's not possible. It couldn't happen. That's crazy talk. And yet here we are. A lot of crazy talk is becoming increasingly sane. How do you protect yourself against the possible craziness? Get yourself some gold. Get yourself some silver. It doesn't depend on someone else's promise. And when we get deeper into the program, I'm going to show you an argument about what's happened to the price of gold this last year. Did gold really lose value this last year, Melody, or did it gain? Everyone knows the price went down. Mm-hmm. But what happened to the value?
Well, we're going to explain that here in a little bit later on in the program.
Probably in the second segment of the program. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you were talking about oil. I remember doing programs when oil was $10 a barrel. Mm-hmm. And the discussion and the consensus was when it reached 50, it was all over. The world couldn't handle $50 a barrel. And what's interesting is we saw 150, and I still believe with oil going to 150, that was a big part of our collapse in 2000, going into that recession, because you had all the truckers, you had the first time gasoline hit $4 and over $5 in certain areas. It was a big impact. Now we're seeing it at 50, and it's interesting, the two, you know, the two peaks of, you have the peak at 150 and then 50, which was also always an important number. So, you know, again, these psychological numbers, once you hit and you break through that psychology, it can unwind things, without much change in everywhere else. But the system, I believe, is so fragile. And it's like you said, any one of these black swans that's floating around could do it.
I understand.
It could be just because it's 2015 anymore. You know, it doesn't have
well,
to be a war.
You know, that sounds silly, but yeah. Look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Janet Yellen said the word patience.
And it went up over.
And the Dow went over 18,000.
Yep.
All right? We live in a world where someone says a magic word, the market goes up or the market goes down because someone simply used a word. It tells you that we are in the midst of enormous volatility, significant risk, and sensible people are going to at least hedge whatever bets they've got in the paper markets. If the paper markets can be moved by someone simply uttering a particularly magic word, that's all it takes. Then you need to hedge your bet, because if she can make the market move up over 18,000 by saying the word patience, she can make it fall below 16,000 by saying some other word, which I don't know. All right? We shouldn't use four-letter words, of course, on the radio programs, the rest of that, and Janet Yellen's not going to use a four-letter word. But she might use an eight-letter word or a 12-letter word that maybe you've never heard before, and all of a sudden, bang, 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 there go the dominoes. Can you imagine the kind of fear that Janet Yellen has to be confronting every time she speaks? She might not even know what magic word could send the markets tumbling. And she's got to sit there, oh my gosh, can I say this? Can I say that? Can I use that word? Can I use that word? It's got to be, I think, a frightening thing. Even for Janet Yellen to sit back and say, my God, if I say the wrong thing, the whole thing might collapse. Would you want that responsibility? Any of it? I don't think I would.
Well, I think a lot of the impact in today's markets also is the European markets. They just got hammered. And I think there is big concern about Greece. I think there's a lot of concern over there. You have Draghi who's flirting with the idea of doing the quantitative easing like we have. And I think he's just been using, you know, we talk about words coming from the central banks and so forth to try to encourage, you know, they try to encourage that psychology to you know, steady the markets and produce that confidence so, you know, investors don't have a fear and they stay there. And I think it's at a point where they no longer can do that in Europe. And Europe, they're in trouble. And,
yeah, I know.
They're in big trouble. And to say that there is no connection between their markets and what happens here, that there will be no contagion, you got to be out of your mind to believe that.
Everything is so tied together. And it's one of the reasons why a sensible world might be more, each nation might be more isolated and less connected to all the rest of them. Because if this system goes down, the whole world's going with it at the same time. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future, The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And it seems apparent that you're more than likely going to need a lot more gold and silver this year than you need stocks and bonds. We'll watch and see what happens, but we've had a couple of bad years in gold. I think that's going to reverse in 2015. We'll see what happens, but Melody, what's next?
Well, we're going to run the special that we ran on Friday, Mint State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces, certified by NGC or PCGS. Now, gold is up $16 today, but we're going to keep the price for Mint State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces at the same price as Friday, $1,351. So now, at that point in time on Friday, the $20 Liberties were selling for $100 over what you could purchase a gold bullion coin, a 1 ounce gold eagle. So now you're buying a Mint State 61 $20 Liberty gold piece at just a little over $80 over
above
a bullion,
above the price now. Yeah, okay.
Over a bullion coin. Now we do have a limited supply, but you have to get on the phone. This is a terrific deal. This is the deal of the century, basically. At one point in time, these coins were almost $1,000 over what a gold bullion coin would sell back in 2010. Now
and
you're
we
getting
can assume they will be again, although we don't know.
History when. Repeats itself. And, of course, you know, past performance, of course, is no indication of future performance, but we're dealing with a problem, a monumental problem in our financial industry, our structure of our policies, of our monetary policy. So there's no reason I wouldn't believe that they won't exceed that $1,000 spread and higher. But give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know what? I'm really excited this year because this is the year. I've seen predictions for gold, you know, oh, gold's going to be at 1900 by, you know, the end of this year. Well, I heard predictions gold was going to be 2000 by the end of 2014. But I do feel, I don't know, there's just something about this year. There's so many things going on.
Yeah.
And there isn't one of those that I mean, it's going to come to pass. We're going to take off this year. Now, do I think we're going to see 2000 by the end of this year? It's possible. You know, we'll have to wait and see what 6 months bring us. But
let's just suppose, for the sake of argument, that the price of gold has stayed exactly where it is in a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
The price was the same. Would that be evidence that we had or hadn't profited from owning gold? And the answer is, it depends on whether or not the deflation that is apparent under the U.S. dollar index, and that deflation, the dollar is gaining value in relationship to foreign currencies. On the international market, the dollar is gaining value. Whether that gain on the international market directly affects the domestic market here in the United States is another question. It's certainly been true that the evidence we saw for deflation in the U.S. dollar index in relationship to foreign currencies up until maybe a month ago or so, we're seeing deflation clearly on the international level. But at the same time, price of food was still going up in this country, which is evidence of inflation on the domestic level. All of this gets confusing. It's hard to sort out, all right? And I don't claim to be able to sort it out precisely. But you can look at this, and there are things to consider. And if it turned out that the price of gold stayed the same, but we went through an episode of deflation, the apparent deflation on the international level, on the U.S. dollar index, it affects domestic prices. Deflation catches up here in the United States. Let's suppose the price of gold stayed the same over the course of a year. And let's suppose we had as much deflation in 2015 as we did on the U.S. dollar index for 2014. That would be about 11%. Then even if gold was sitting there at the same price a year from now as it is today, it would actually have 11, it would make a gain of 11% in purchasing power. Now, I know I'm sure that's hard to explain, and I'm going to try to explain it a second time and probably even generate a certain amount more of confusion, but sometimes you got to deal with a certain amount of confusion as you begin to grasp ideas that are at least new, relatively new, previously unpublicized, and you got to work at it. You got to work at understanding these things. There isn't a solution to any of our potential economic threats, financial threats. There isn't a solution that doesn't require exercising your mind. Huh? We've been led as Americans to believe, oh, all we have to do is just take orders and everything will work out fine. Well, that's no longer. If it was ever true, it's not true right now. Let's compare. Let's take a look at what happened to gold and silver this last year. 2014 was a better year for gold. This last year was a better year for gold than 2013. In 2013, the spot price of gold fell by more than 27% that year. And yet, that's in 2013. In 2014, gold was down 2% for the year, right? As measured in fiat dollars. Price of gold is off 2% from a year ago. Not a big deal. Not good. We don't want gold. We want gold up rather than down. But 2% is not a terrible situation. But for the past 6 months, we've seen evidence of deflation in this country, or at least on the U.S. dollar index relative to the purchasing power of the fiat dollar. As measured on the U.S. dollar index, fiat dollar is up from 81 in January of last year to 91 today on the U.S. dollar index. That's evidence of deflation and an increase of 11% in the purchasing power of the dollar. It's also evidence of an 11% increase in the purchasing power of gold as measured in dollars. And what I mean by that is this. If gold was $1,200 last year at this time, and it's $1,200 this year at this, you know, right now, it would seem that the price of gold hasn't changed much. Right? We're basically flat. But if the dollars that we use to measure the price of gold have gone up by 11% in that same year, it means gold has gone up by 11%. We could have an ounce of gold or we could have $1,200. We could have had an ounce of gold last year or we could have had $1,200 in cash a year ago this time, $1,200. It means that the dollar was essentially, they were interchangeable. You could have an ounce of gold, you could have $1,200. And if you compare it today, those same $1,200 are actually worth about $1,300 and change. They've gone up by 11%. Right? $1,330, something like that. That's the purchasing power, even though it would be easier if I explained this. I tried to explain it at least in terms of $1,000. Let's suppose for the sake of argument, it might not be easier for you folks to understand, but it's easier for me to explain. All right. So we have to take care of the senior citizens as best we can on this program, and we have to make the explanations easy for the senior citizens to deliver, if not for the listeners to understand. But we're going to try. Imagine that the price of gold a year ago was $1,000 an ounce. It means you could have an ounce of gold or you could have $1,000. Right? Either one. They were interchangeable. To have one is to have the other. If the price of gold was still $1,000 today, but the value of $1,000 in cash had increased, the purchasing power had increased from $1,000 to $1,100 over the course of the last year, then that gold is also up to $1,100. Even though the nominal price is $1,000, the gold's purchasing power has increased by, in fact, 11%. This is a complex argument. It's counterintuitive for some people. It's hard to get this right off the bat, but it's simply a recognition that if you're measuring your gold in terms of dollars, and dollars are becoming more valuable, and the gold is staying the same price, the gold is becoming more valuable. Price of gold fell 2% over the last 12 months. But given that the dollar is 11% more valuable than it was 11 months ago or a year ago, gold actually arguably gained 9% in purchasing power over the last 12 months, even though the nominal price of gold fell by 2%. The purchasing power, because of deflation, arguably increased by 11%. You subtract the 2% from the 11, and you wind up with a 9% gain. Now, you know, I understand it's a hard argument to present, hard argument to understand over the radio program. But just the same, that doesn't mean it's a bad argument. You're going to have to begin to think in these terms if you want to make intelligent investments. And if that argument is correct, and it certainly is, at least in relationship to the U.S. dollar index, it means that gold actually gained about 9% in purchasing power, not in price, but in purchasing power over the last 12 months. 9% is not bad, right? It's a big improvement over 2013, and we can expect, if deflation is going to continue, there's a good chance that gold, even if it doesn't gain a nickel in nominal price, is going to continue to increase in purchasing power. Does that make any sense, Melody? Or
could you explain that again for me, Al?
Yeah, right. Not today, though. You'll have to tune in tomorrow, and we will attempt to ascend. I understand that it's a difficult thing to kind of grasp.
No, it isn't.
But all we're saying is, look, if the price is the same and the value of the dollars is up, then the value of the gold has to be up also. Huh? That's what we're saying. If dollar is deflating, if that's true, and that's what we see, and we see evidence of that on the U.S. dollar index, it's an argument, right? The extent that the U.S. dollar index is evidence of deflation within the United States of America is unclear to me. It's certainly deflating in relationship to foreign currencies. On the international market, dollar is deflating. What's it doing on the domestic market? I'm going to argue that it's also deflating in part because we finally saw that the price of food dropped by 0.2% last month in the government. That's evidence of domestic deflation.
Well, not
and
all food. Not
the price
all food.
Of gold would have to.
Not all food has dropped. I mean, you have hamburger that it's at all-time high.
No, but it was on average. It was an average put out by the government.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can have the average. You can have something that people don't eat go down, but people that, you know, usually, you know, their food staples, you know, those things that people need or have to have in their diets went up. So, you know, you could have.
It's one of these things where it's very difficult to point and say, this is the absolute God's truth. This whole system has become so complicated. Again, it used to be supply on one side, demand on the other side, and on a graph on the vertical axis supply, horizontal axis demand, and there is a line at 45 degrees running up, which indicates the price, the supply and demand. It's far more complex than that right now. And all of this stuff is arguable. And some arguments are more valid than others, but I doubt that anyone's argument takes all the facts into consideration because all the facts are not available, and there are too many of them to even calculate. We all wind up making certain choices when we make our arguments. But still, having said that, you can look and you can begin to see which arguments seem more probable to you. Which arguments sit there and say, listen, I think this is the one that's right. This is the one. This sounds more likely to me than others. Let's see. Have I been having a sound problem here, Melody?
A little bit, but you're fine. We only have two more minutes left of this break. But if you want to talk about inflation, what about Venezuela? We talked the other day about they were having a 63% inflation, and now it looks like the head guy, the president of Venezuela, he's heading to China.
Yep. Going to China, according to the Washington Times. There it is. Caracas, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro begins a trip to China and OPEC member countries late Saturday in search of financial support as his country reels from falling oil prices and a tattered economy. South American oil giant confirmed Tuesday that it has entered recession, while annual inflation topped 63%, exacerbating the outlook for an economy already hit by global crashing oil prices and import shortages. What President Maduro, he is dealing with 63% inflation and a recession, which means he is in the worst of all possible worlds. He is now in a hyperinflationary recession and or depression. Prices are going up as people are increasingly unemployed and businesses are closing. You know, if prices go up under inflation, we have inflation, prices go up, fine. If my wages are going up, it's not cause for a lot of concern. It's annoying, but it's not cause for great concern. If, on the other hand, prices are going up at the same time I'm unemployed, or maybe I'm relying on Social Security or pension to get me through, we're in big trouble. And that's what Venezuela has right now. We'll talk more about Venezuela when we return in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedars from Unfaithful Survival. Please stay tuned.
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival, Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We were talking about Venezuela's problem. They're seeing they are in a recession, plus they have 63% inflation, which means they are in a, they admit to being in a recession. They are arguably in or close to a hyperinflationary depression. That's big trouble. That's as bad as it gets. You know, it's one thing to be unemployed and prices stay the same. But if you're unemployed and prices are rising, that only makes your poverty that much deeper. All right? That's what they have in Venezuela. And so the president of Venezuela is going to different places, including China, looking to borrow some money to get through this problem. And the point, the result of this, is China is making inroads into South America without weapons or military invasions. They're entering South America simply because China has lived within its means, acquired great savings, and is now in a financial position to make loans to insolvent countries like Venezuela, who are caught in economic depressions. And those loans will come at a cost. Venezuela, they want to borrow some money. China says, okay, what you got for us? China is making inroads. And it's not just in South America where China has increased its influence. China is America's single biggest foreign creditor. It's a virtual certainty that that holding U.S. treasuries has given China an enormous increase in influence over the United States. Now, this influence may not be broadcast and publicized and whatever, but I guarantee you, if the president of China calls, Obama's going to take the call. He might even stop golfing for a minute to do so. You can bet that China now exerts a level of influence in the United States that 30 years ago could only have been imagined as the result of having defeated the U.S. in a shooting war. So question, why does China have such influence? And the answer is because China worked hard, lived within its means, and saved. Until it could become the world's greatest creditor. There are lessons in this for all of us. First, your future power, your economic power, will depend on your current savings. If you have no savings, your only power will be to riot in the streets.
And we see that. Poor people can riot in the streets. Rich people don't need to. They have other, they have economic power that can get them through difficult situations. To the extent you have savings, you may have sufficient power to, financial power to survive and even prosper. Second, your future power, your future financial power will depend on the medium you employ to save your wealth. Are you saving in a paper medium like stocks, bonds, bank accounts, pension funds, paper dollars? You're taking a great risk. If you're saving in something tangible like guns, bullets, land, tools, silver, or gold, your risk is reduced and your savings are safer. There is no perfect solution to deal with the problems that may be headed our way. But there are better solutions, preferable solutions, safer solutions. Saving your wealth with a medium, that physical medium that can't be destroyed, is a much safer solution than saving your wealth in a paper medium that can be wiped out anytime anybody just says, forget it, I'm not paying, or forget it, I can't pay. All of your paper is not a payment. It's only a promise to pay. Gold, for example, is a payment. Do you want to store your wealth in the form of payments, or do you want to store your wealth in the form of promises to pay? You going to trust other people to pay you? In a world where the debt is so great, we know that all the debts can't be repaid. You want to trust that? Yeah, it's your business, but it's a dangerous and risky choice. On the other hand, if you would like to store your wealth in the form of a payment, not a promise to pay, an actual payment, get yourself some gold and do it now while you have the opportunity to do so. We talked about this a little bit at the end of last year, you know, just a month ago, a couple of weeks ago. One of the blessings that we have right now is things are not so dire that we can't prepare for what might be coming. Right? We still have time. If you haven't prepared against the possibility, not a necessity, not an absolute reality, but a possibility and a increasingly probable probability that we're going to see a very difficult financial period over the course of the next months, years, you still have time to prepare. And that might be one of the greatest blessings you're going to see in this life. All right, so in any case, Melody, having said all that, it's time. Don't you forget, Melody. Don't forget what I'm telling you. You need to save. Yeah, keep your savings in the form of gold now. I suppose you probably already do that, at least a little bit, but just want to
remind. It's more than a little. It's a little bit. More than a little bit. I don't have any paper investments. And I get people call me and they'll say, oh, Melody, well, you know, what do you do with the cash that, you know, you make? Well, you know, yeah, you have to pay bills. You know, you certainly have to reinvest in your company and your firm, and you get expenses that you cover and so forth. But everything else goes back into education. I support other programs. We supported Dr. Stan for many years. We support a lot of other folks, Raleigh James, Lori Roth, Bob Chapman was on this program for so many years, and Al. And so I believe in education. It goes back into it. It goes back into education so people can get prepared while they still have time. And I do believe it's going to be an interesting year. And I think we're going to see some great changes in the price of gold and silver. And I would think that if anybody does own paper, that they would be taking gains off the table. They'd be taking profits off the table. I can't imagine anyone who thinks that and would feel safe in keeping large amounts of their funds in the paper markets in today's world. I mean, I can't even fathom the idea of wanting to be in the stock market at 18,000. Are you serious? You know, in this world,
when it moves, when Janet Yellen says a word. I mean, what if she'd said ibbity bobbity boo
Then what would happen?
And what happens? It moves to 20,000. Would you feel any safer? Would you really? I mean, it's. And this is what happens to so many people so often. You know, they continue to think the markets are going to go higher without any fundamentals underneath it, other than a word. And if it falls down, they'll think it's going to go back up. And that's how they get into a mess. And the next thing you know, they've lost 50% or more of their money. And it's not going to be any different today. People are going to be destroyed each time these markets go down. Do you really believe the powers to be, the elite, Wall Street, whatever you want to call them, the bankers, whatever, do you really believe they're going to allow you to walk away with your money?
No, absolutely they plan not. On walking away with your money.
They plan on walking away. Well, they might leave you some. They'll leave you a little.
Yeah, they want to leave you enough where you can go back and run another trade and pay another commission.
Yep, and bring it back up to where it was. And then you'll say, well, gee, I'm glad I stayed in there. I'm back to where I was.
It's how just like Las Vegas. They don't want to take all of your money because
absolutely
if they do,
not.
You'll
you
be left
home.
On the streets of Las Vegas homeless. They don't want to increase. They want you to have enough money left over where you can at least get a bus ride back home. All right? You got virtually all of your money. Now take the rest of it and buy yourself a ticket back home. And
And if folks believe that, and financial planners, you know, I can't tell you how many stories a day I hear about people who want to take their money out, and their financial planners think they're crazy. They make them sign certain forms if they know you're going into gold and silver. Basically, they'll call you stupid and everything else. And what I don't understand is this is your money. You get to control it, not a financial
planner. And why don't they
planner.
Want you to go into gold and silver?
They make no money.
They
Period.
Won't make repeat money. One of the great
repeat
things
money.
About investing in stocks is your broker is constantly will contact you on a regular basis to say, hey, I got another opportunity here. Hey, it's time to sell the stock you've got, and then we'll put the money into this other one. And every time he can persuade you to move from one paper investment to another, he makes a commission. When people buy gold, they hold gold. Right? It's possible that someone makes a commission when on the initial sale, but then people take that gold and they put it in a shoebox, they put it in a safety deposit box, they put it somewhere and they sit on it, which means there's no more commissions, or at least a lot fewer commissions. They may buy more gold as time goes on, but there are less commissions. Right? Wall Street makes its money on those commissions. At least the brokers do. And they understand. If one of your clients goes into gold, you can pretty much say bye-bye. They're not coming back to buy more stock.
One thing I haven't heard this year, and I don't know if it's just too early, maybe the information will come out later, was the commissions, the bonuses that Wall Street made this year. Normally they brag about them and so forth, but you didn't hear much this year. That means they made a killing. You know,
yeah, maybe it's bad publicity. They are recognizing it's bad publicity. So they'll just keep their bonuses to themselves. Thank you very much. I can talk. I'll tell you another thing that I haven't heard much about. What were the sales for the Christmas season?
We'll hear about that shortly. Yeah, we'll hear about that shortly.
Well, I'm surprised we haven't heard any predictions up until now. We should have leaked some information if this thing was really... was a lot of good news. I would have expected some leaks, and analysts are expecting that it's 3-5% more than it was a year ago.
Well, Al, they're waiting for some cold weather. They're waiting for some cold weather for a change in the weather so they can...
Maybe. Mm-hmm. It may be. They may be compensating for that, and they won't tell us what they did for Christmas until spring. Until the winter is over, and then when we get into spring, then we'll find out what happened at Christmas time. But if it was really good news, I would expect to have heard it before now. So we'll watch and see. Maybe it'll be good news, maybe not, but, you know, it is painful on one level to deal with what seems to be bad news, bad news, bad news, and more bad news. But it appears that that's the reality of the situation. I mean, we'd like to pump sunshine out here, but you know, it doesn't appear that we have much sunshine around, with the possible exception of David from Indiana. Do you have any sunshine for us, David, or do you have some doom and gloom?
Well, I think it's a little bit of sunshine. You know, regardless of people's political persuasion, I think Afghanistan ought to, we ought to tip our hat. Once again, they stood up to the world's major powers, and through being a well-armed citizenry, they have put down another doggone takeover. You know, it's their weaponry that gives them the tenacity and the resolve to be able to stand up to these foreign governments. I think.
And what do you mean by another? What do you mean that they've resisted another takeover?
Well, it wasn't long ago it was the Russians. And I think before the Russians it was the Brits. And, you know, they're still standing. But
this goes back all the way to Alexander the Great, if I understand correctly. There's something about Afghanistan that these people will protect that pile of rocks. They'll fight for it with a kind of determination and tenacity that is just, you can't break it. You either got to kill them all or just don't bother. You're not going to win in Afghanistan. And it's bizarre. They don't have an air force. They don't have any tanks worth mentioning and the rest of that sort of thing. But they are tenacious in defending what they regard as, it may only be a pile of rocks, but it's our rocks. And we're not letting anybody take our rocks.
Well, that on one level is to be admired. You know?
Yeah, absolutely it is. Because it indicates that all of us we're not helpless. A ragtag bunch of people who will be almost relying on flintlock rifles, they can still defend their homeland if they care to do so. Do we care to do so, David?
Yes, sir. I think there's a lot more Americans out there that care to do so than they give us credit for.
Well, I understand that, but it's sort of it's one of those things where you can't help but wonder at times. Are there enough Americans to defend this country the way the Afghans defend theirs?
No.
Oh, shoot. I think at a grassroots level, I think, yes. You know, that's one thing about the communists and stuff. You have not seen the tyranny that gives a population a backbone. It won't take much of that to see that, you know, it's a hopeless situation.
We're going to have to cut you off because we are out of time for the day. We'll be back tomorrow. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. I want to thank all of you for listening. Hope you'll tune in again. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, meet Melody. Frank, the producer,
bye-bye.
David from Indiana. Bye-bye.
Have a plan. If I got me a well-being man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd